With the Lord's help, I desire that we would turn together and read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21. I'd like to read the entire chapter with God's help. Matthew chapter 21. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went, and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it the den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read, Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? And he left them, and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it, and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, If ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also, if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if ye tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did ye not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. And he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go, work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a winepress in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord, therefore, of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto these husbandmen? They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render unto him the fruits in their seasons. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude, because they took him for a prophet. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. May we all bow in prayer. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the hope that God has extended unto mankind, hope of eternal life, hope of salvation, hope of fellowship with God. And it's a blessing to come together, to think about what God has done for us and the great gift that God has provided in his only begotten Son. But it's also true that Jesus' word was not intended to bring peace in this world without faith, without surrender. Jesus asked his disciples, Did you think that I came to bring peace? No, I came to bring a sword. He came to speak and to preach the word that his Father had given him. And that word is a sword that divides and cuts between soul and spirit, between joints and marrow, between thoughts and intents of hearts. And each of the chapters in the Gospels give us this message and bring us each to a point of decision. Which way will we go? Will we embrace what we hear? Or will we go our own way and miss out on the gift? Miss the blessing? Miss the kingdom of God? Jesus had been preaching and teaching in the land of Israel for 3 years. And we see so many times the Pharisees and the scribes and the priests rejecting him. It's not a new story, but this happens many times in this chapter as well. And it's particularly strong because Jesus is entering Jerusalem for the last times. He's coming as it was foretold of the prophets. The king is coming to you, meek and sitting upon an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the people are shouting, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna. Save us. Lord, save us." And that is what Jesus came to do. To bring salvation. But he came to his own, and his own received him not. And we see in this chapter several of the last opportunities for the leaders of the people, for the people of Israel, to repent, to turn around. It is like we hear a song, the final call. God's final call to you. And so this account is one of great intensity. What will the people do? Which way will they go? It's like we're in Summit County and it's a watershed between the waters that flow to Lake Erie and the waters that flow to the Ohio River. On which side of the divide will that water fall determines its destination. And we can see in bold relief the example of the chief priests and the scribes and their rejection of Jesus Christ and where it led them. It's fascinating to see that at the end of this chapter, the chief priests and the scribes, they understand that Jesus is talking to them. He's speaking about them. He's speaking about their hearts. He's speaking about their priorities. He's speaking about their love. He's speaking about their faith. He's speaking about how they conform to the plan of God and his kingdom, or lack of conforming to it. It's an intense account about the decision that's in front of us all whenever we hear the gospel. And he is talking to you and me. Everything he says, he's talking to you and me. And shining a light to our hearts to hear and to be warned. Don't go this way. Take the way of faith. Take that narrow way. Take that road of obedience and of repentance. And find in Jesus Christ, the one who is meek, who is coming to you through his word, and crown him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And find his gift. Find his blessing. See many instances of opportunities to turn around, of warnings. Jesus comes to the temple and he overturns the tables. He speaks to them from the Old Testament about the purpose of the house of God and tells them that they have treated with an irreverent heart God's house, a place of prayer, a place where people would be able to come together. From another gospel mentions that it's a house where all nations may come and pray to God, draw near to him, experience and learn of him. But they had made it a den of thieves by their irreverence, by their selfishness, by their self-centeredness, by hearts that were overcome by gain and this world's wealth. They hear the children in verse 15 crying, "Hosanna to the Son of David." But they were sore displeased. They had the opportunity to hear the words that were supposed to be spoken about the Messiah, the Son of David. But they were sore displeased because they were thinking, if somebody would tell me that, I wouldn't let them say that. I would be humble. I wouldn't let them praise and lift me up. But really, in their hearts, that's all they wanted. All they wanted was the attention of men. All they wanted was to be seen of men. All they wanted was what Jesus was receiving, but they didn't deserve it. They became bitter and angry and displeased. And Jesus again calls them by the word, "Haven't you read? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou hast perfected praise." Jesus goes out of the city and returns to them again. And on the way, he sees a fig tree. That fig tree that is a symbol or a representative of Israel. And he sees on it leaves but no fruit. That is painting a beautiful picture or a sad picture of the condition of the people of Israel, by and large, that they're rejecting their Messiah. They're not bringing forth fruits of repentance. They are not repenting that they might believe upon Jesus Christ. And Jesus curses the tree. And it quickly withers away. And the disciples see it. And there's something that they need to learn. There's a warning being given. And Jesus comes to the temple, and he's teaching the people. He's speaking to them about the word of God. He's bringing the good news of the gospel. He's doing healings in the temple. And while he's doing this service, he he gets interrupted. He gets interrupted by people that are saying, "By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority?" And Jesus puts them in a corner where they have to reflect upon their heart. And if they would embrace the truth, or if they would turn away yet again. And they decide that they're not going to make a commitment. They're not going to make a choice on where they stand. They're not going to be decisive about following Jesus Christ. And many of our friends are also in this place of indecision. And there is a warning that there is no indecision. There is an embrace of faith and love, or there is a rejection. And those two options lead to but two places. And he asked them, he knows what they're thinking, but he asked them, "What do you think? Make a judgment. Make a decision about what you are hearing. Come to a conclusion. I will give you the scenario and you decide. If a man has two sons and goes to the one and says, 'Go in the field and go in the vineyard, do my will,' and you say, 'Yes, I'm going to do it. Yes, I want to be baptized. Yes, I'm going to do it. No problem.' But don't follow through. Are you doing the will of God? What is Jesus looking for? What is he looking for on that tree? Is he looking for the leaves? Is he looking for branches? He's looking for fruits. The will of God being done in the hearts of men. And they can rightly judge when it's somebody else, somebody else's sons. David could do that too when he was told the parable about the sheep. Go back and read that. And he could rightly judge about what was right and what was wrong. But when Nathan the prophet said, "You are the man. I'm talking to you. This message is for you." Then his heart was melted and broken. And that's what the Lord desires. That we would hear his word and know that he's speaking to you and to me. And to feel our great need. There's a verse at the end of this chapter where Jesus says, "Whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." I've heard some different ways of understanding this. One is that he's using words that would be like an analogy or idiom. Okay, so this falling on this stone is understood as falling in reliance, falling in trust, falling as into a place of refuge upon Jesus Christ. And the result is this brokenness, and a brokenness in the sense of we feel the end of ourselves. We feel how much we need the Lord. We can sense that we are undone and we are insufficient. And we see how broken we are. And there is truth to that. We will never fall on the Lord in faith and in trust and in this surrender of ourselves unless we see our need. And then on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. If there's a rejection, if there's no commitment, if there's no follow through, and if there are no fruits, there's judgment that awaits. That understanding of this verse puts a positive spin on this falling and being broken. But if we take a look at the Old Testament verse that this Jesus may be referring to here, there's a much darker understanding. Go back to Isaiah chapter number 8. Let's read a few verses beginning with verse 9. This is Isaiah's prophecy to the children of Israel and Judah. They were going to be attacked, and they were thinking, we're going to make an alliance with another country, with maybe Syria. And Israel had done this many times. They thought, maybe we'll trust in Egypt. Maybe we'll put our trust in horses. Maybe we'll put our trust in men. And they did not put their faith in the Lord. And Isaiah's telling them about the folly of that and warning them about what's going to happen. And he uses the words about a stone of stumbling and of being broken. Take a listen to what Isaiah says and how this expression is used in the Old Testament. He says, associate yourselves, or come together. Go ahead, make that alliance with these other countries, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces. This is not a positive breaking. This is a breaking of judgment. Ye shall be broken in pieces, and give ear, all ye of far countries. Gird yourselves. Go ahead. Prepare for the battle. See what will happen. And ye shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand. For God is with us. For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, say ye not a confederacy. To all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy, neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. Don't be afraid of the people, just like the scribes and the chief priests were afraid of the people. Be afraid of the one who can cast soul and body into hell. Fear him. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare, or like a trap to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. And I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. The stumbling and the falling upon the stone is a tripping, and the breaking is a breaking in pieces of judgment in this Old Testament book. And Peter speaks about that in his epistle, where he quotes from this passage, where he talks about our cornerstone, the one who's precious in our eyes, the one who we say, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. He says, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of a stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. This is the word that came to pass to the chief priests and the scribes. Those who felt that they were the people of God. We are the covenant people. But they were living in disobedience and fruitless lives. And Jesus says, the kingdom of God will be taken from you. It's going to be taken from people who assume and presume and feel that they are entitled to God's blessing and be given to the ones who are bearing the fruit of God in us. This is who we are called to be. This peculiar people who are zealous of good works, who are bringing forth the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His glorious light, the light of Jesus Christ and His salvation. And whoever trips at the word and the opportunity of grace that is given by Jesus Christ, it is like it was said in the Old Testament, he will be broken. But Jesus, as he often does, takes what is written in the Old Testament and he fills it up. And he expands upon it. And he takes that so intense prophecy of the breaking and the stumbling of Israel in the Old Testament. And he says, there's a greater thing that will happen. Upon the one on whom this stone will fall, it will grind him to powder. We read in Hebrews that those who rejected the law, who rejected the word of Moses, died under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment suppose ye he should be worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing. There is a sorer punishment in rejecting this living word. And so the options are laid before us. The watershed moment of Israel's history is before them, and we can wonder what is at stake. But he's speaking to you and me. A watershed moment. A moment where we have a choice to repent and to have our Savior come to us with healing in his wings. His arm is not shortened that he cannot save or that he cannot heal. But to Israel, the Lord says, but your sins have separated you. Come. Reason together. Reason together with him, in cooperation with him. Don't reason in yourselves how you're going to make this work and how you're going to fit yourself through and how you're going to navigate this and that. No. Reason with him. May he be a part of your reason for living. And wholly give yourself to him so that in him you may be partakers of his inheritance. This is the blessing that he has for us. This is the option. And he will not coerce anyone. But in love and in a great show of long-suffering and patience, he calls one more time. Hear the word and allow him to bring its fruit in our lives. Amen.
Jesus, looking at the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he sees nothing but hatred coming from them towards him. They hated him. They lied about him. They invented things. And Jesus speaks to them the truth. He speaks to them because he loves them. And he dies for them because he loves them. But he spoke to them very openly. He spoke to them and showed them the error of their way. And at the end of this chapter, it says, when the chief priests and the Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. And so we sat here this evening. Is Jesus speaking to us? At least the Pharisees and the chief priests recognized he's speaking to me about me. Now, they made a choice, but they knew he talked to them. And their choice was, no, they're not going to repent. And he says to them, he says, the harlots and the publicans enter into the kingdom before you do. You who perceive that you are righteous. He says, you're not in. He goes, John came to you in the way of righteousness, because they said that of Jesus that he's a glutton and a wine bibber because he's eaten with the publicans and them. He says, well, John came in the way of righteousness, in the way in which you perceive that is righteous. He came that way, and you didn't receive him, but the publicans did. And we have an example in the scripture of a publican coming to Christ and of a harlot coming to Christ. He says, they repented, but you didn't. And why? The message was consistent from John. The message is consistent from Jesus. Repent. That's the word that man hates to hear. Repent. Change. And they refused. And so he gives that, and it was a beautiful portion of scripture that Brother Robert read from Isaiah, speaking of today is the day. He speaks of now's the time to fall upon this stone. This is the salvation that is being offered. It's the only foundation that was laid is Jesus Christ. It's either that or have the stone of judgment fall upon us, which Daniel speaks of also in chapter 2 of his prophecy. So, did we perceive tonight at all that Jesus is speaking to me? And what is the message? And will I receive it? Or will I brush it aside? The consequences are dire. The indictment was stinging to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And it is that way to all who hear the purity of the gospel and reject it. So may God bless his word this night, this evening, upon each of our hearts, that we would listen to the words of Jesus and respond as he speaks. Amen.